Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Help us, Lord, as we do some self-examination. Help us, Lord, in this matter of rearing our children properly and correctly. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in this area of our life to bolster our character, make sure that we're building our lives upon a strong foundation, allowing and giving our young people a strong foundation upon which to build their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We've talked to us Wednesday nights ago, introduced the first 2 points on a Bible study on the matter of the sluggard. Let me review those quickly. Number one, slothfulness is the abuse of your God-given need for sleep and rest. It's the abuse of your God-given need for sleep and rest. We read in Proverbs 6:9, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Again, just now in Proverbs 24, yet a little sleep, a little slumber. It doesn't take a lot. The Bible says it can just be a little. Proverbs 26:14 is very amusing. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. As the door turneth upon his hinges. I don't know why they feel like they need to fix the King James Bible. It's just fine. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think you can understand that, can't you? Here's the slothful man. He rolls over and then he rolls over and he rolls over and he just never manages to roll on out and get going. And so he turns and turns and turns and eats up an extra hour of the morning that he could have been doing something for the Lord, something productive with his life. We mentioned that if you slept 1 hour less a day than you are presently now sleeping, that you would add 23 additional days to your year. That's over 3 full weeks of wakeful productivity, folks. It's a sin to be lazy. It's a sin to allow your children to be lazy. And so an encouragement in that, please. And then we studied also a little bit about how much sleep's too much sleep. Talked a little bit about all of those things. I'm not going to re-preach it. Number two, a slothful man will not work unless supervised. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And what we shared with the young people and with all of us is that an insect, I want to keep saying it like that, an insect, amen. An insect has enough character not to have somebody stand there and watch him and make sure he does his work. Now, I mean that. Some of you need to get a hold of this. Some of you just letting this go off your back like water off a duck's back. And the honest truth is I've got able-bodied, strong, healthy young men that when you're assigned a task to do, unless there is somebody in authority watching you, you're going to slack off and do the least possible. Shame on you. I mean it. That's a wicked sin. It's a wicked sin that you would require by the time you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age that you'd have to have somebody standing there to make sure that you worked as hard as you ought to work. The honest truth is, if you don't fix that now, you're going to carry that on into your life, and you need to get a hold of that. Remember, we said that we're to work in singleness of our heart as unto Christ, not as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You young people, think about this. Who do you think was supervising Pastor Jerry Ross in his office? Let me tell you who was. Because I got a supervisor. I do have one. It's Almighty God. Okay? And you need to take that with you in life and get that into your heart and to do what you're supposed to do. Now, in Proverbs chapter 24, let me mention a couple other things. We've got several things. We'll see how we do tonight. I'd like to finish this, but we'll just see what it takes. Number three, point number three about the sluggard. Passerbyers can identify a slothful man. Passerbyers can identify a slothful man. Now look at Proverbs chapter 24 where we read, verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was what? all grown over with thorns. Nettles covered the face thereof. Stone wall was broken down. Why? Why were the nettles, why was it all grown over with thorns? Because somebody didn't go out there and cut them. Why were the nettles covering the face thereof? Because nobody took the time to pull the weeds and properly care for the property. Why was the stone wall broken down? Because something had caused it to deteriorate and nobody ever fixed it. Now, I want you to just listen to me. And Christian people need to hear this. You know what? Your property ought to look like Christians live there. Your property ought to look like Christians live there. You know that the way that you take care of your property affects the property value of the people that live on the same road as you, the same street as you. I went to do a visit in Duggar here a while back, and I went to a street in Duggar, and I'm not going to mention where, but went to an address that I had on a card and pulled my car to park there and looked up and down that block. Houses on this side, of course, houses on this side. I was about halfway down the block. And absolutely, every single piece of property that I could see on my right hand, my left hand, was very well taken care of, except one piece of property that was absolutely a shame. I mean, a wicked shame. And I sat there and looked at that property and thought to myself, you have got to be kidding. I mean, there were toys everywhere. I understand if you have kids, you're going to have some toys. I get that. But you know what? Kids can be trained to pick up toys. Sure they can. There wasn't just toys, there was trash. There wasn't just trash, there was appliances. The grass hadn't been cut in I don't know how long. I looked at the person whose property was next door to them, and I mean, you could see the distinct line where the grass was cut and the property was cared for, and then I thought to myself, I can't imagine being that poor guy that owns that piece of property right there. Now, I think it's good for us every once in a while to pull into our own property, ladies and gentlemen, and slow down, and look at it with fresh eyes. One of the things that I do on a regular basis here, some of you might think, Pastor, just a little too picky around here. I don't think I am. Right. We just get used to pulling in here, and because we come in here all the time, things that are not right, we just get used to not seeing them the way they are. One of the good pieces of advice I got from Brother Johnson was this. He said, Brother Ross, you ought to, on a regular basis, slow your car down and start drive by the property and pull into the property as if you were a first-time visitor and look at everything. Because, folks, listen to me. That yard, and whether it's cut or not, that ditch and whether or not the trash is picked up or not, that sign and the way the letters are put and whether they're even, whether they're spaced correctly, and whether the sign is washed. And by the way, I think that's still on the list back there if somebody would like to and hasn't done anything yet in May. Hasn't done anything yet. Maybe it's a good month to preach on slothfulness, you know, to sign up and get something done and take the time to do it. And but what I'm telling you is the truth. And you know what? Well, those people are poor. Well, so was my dad. But you know what? Poor didn't mean lazy. And poor didn't mean sloppy. And you know what? They may have not had new clothes, but they had well-mended clothes. Are you listening to me? It's not a matter of how much money you have. It's a matter of how much time you take. And this is good for us. All right, let's get down to business here. That means that I can go to some of you teenagers' room and take a quick look and find out whether you're a lazy bum or not. I can go out to the learning center on any given week and open the desk and look at your desk and what's inside of your desk and find out whether you've got much character or not. What you understand is, well, people shouldn't judge me. Well, the Bible said this man went by, and you know what? He immediately tagged him as a slothful man. The Bible doesn't rebuke him for that.
Right. Sure.
Okay? It's obvious. Young men, young ladies, I can open your pace.
That's right.
And see whether or not you're lazy by how sloppy you are. Well, I just want to get it done. Scribble, 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 slop, slop, slop. There, well, I done it. And you're going to take that attitude into the next job you have. And the next job you have, and the next job you have. And you know what? All the time you're going to be whining about why everybody else in the world gets a break and you never get a break. And they always pick other people. And I'll tell you what, all these companies aren't fair. No, they're just not going to put a lazy man in charge of something. Okay? I'm trying to help you. I think it's important. I think I think the Bible's telling us something. Well, preacher, my property's not, and I understand. You drive by my place at any given time, and grass may be a little too long, or there may be something got left out in the yard a day or two more than it should have. I'm not talking about being crazy, but I'm telling you this. We need to keep up on stuff. We need to be aware of stuff. We need to make sure our young people keep up on stuff. If they take the bicycle out to ride it, they can put the bicycle back. They take toys out in the yard to play with them, they can pick them up, put them right back where they were. And the Bible says if a man won't work, he shouldn't. Amen. They're given tasks to do, chores to do. It'd be a good time right before supper time to go inspect it. See whether they got it done or not. Well, what if they didn't? What do you expect me to do? I expect you to do what Robert Ross did in our house. I've been out finishing weed in the garden because I didn't do a good job, didn't do it right while everybody was eating supper. You know, you don't do that but a couple of times. You decide maybe you ought to do it right. Now, they let me eat once I got my work done. It was kind of cold and kind of lonely. The worst kind of walking in there. The table's cleared and there's a plate. And Mom, you know, Mom's going to take care of you. But amen. 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 All right, so listen, step it up. Step it up. Okay? Your room should look like you belong on the Hoarder series. So passerbyers can identify a slothful man. Well, it's not that I'm lazy, it's I'm too busy. Well, then you need to adjust some things. You need to adjust some things. Okay? Number next. Proverbs chapter 13, go there first, verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The next principle we learn when we study the sluggard or the slothful men is this. The sluggard is eaten up with the desire for things, but will not pay the price to earn them. The sluggard is eaten up with the desire for things, but will not pay the price to earn them. Verse number 4, chapter 13. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Go to Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 25. Another verse that supports this same point, verse 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Why? For his hands refuse to labor. You see, folks, it's a bitterness that plagues lazy people. It plagues them. There's an inward bitterness towards people that have or people that are more successful. And the honest truth is they have the same desires as the other person. They just won't pay the price. So they walk around with this bitterness, this inner anger towards the diligent man because of what he has. And by the way, our politicians play on this. Come on now. They play on this. Poor you. Poor you. Let me just make this 100% plain. I am not for the redistribution of wealth. I mean, it is absolutely criminal to tax working men and take money from them and hand it to somebody who will not work. I didn't say cannot work. I said will not work. Somebody honestly cannot work. I think everybody in here would say I'd want to be one of the first in line to see to it that we could help them in some way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who will not work. It is criminal, Mr. Obama, to raise my taxes anymore. You're taking enough from people who are working and giving it to people who won't work. Stop it. You say, preacher, I just thought that was a Christian thing to do. You need to read the parable of the talents. One man was given five, one was given two, one was given one. The one that was given five went out there and worked and doubled it. The one that was given two went out and doubled it. The one that was given one buried it in the ground, too lazy to do anything with it. Not only did the master call him a wicked and slothful, lazy servant, but he said this, take the one that he has from him and give it to the one that has ten. Now, that's kind of opposite of what America's doing. We're taking from the one that had 10. We want 7 of yours to give to the guy who buried his 1. That's what we're doing. And we're rewarding laziness. There's a difference between a man who cannot work and a man who will not work. But I'll tell you, the one who will not work, the Bible says that he should not eat. We've mentioned that. You know, hunger is a great motivator. Hunger is a great motivator. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. I'm going to keep moving. We got several of these to cover. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Mom, I want this. On that last point. Dad, I want this. Mom, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Mom, I want this. I want this. Can I have this? Can I? Mom, can I have this? Can I want? Mom, the desire of the slothful killeth him. Stop asking for stuff all the time. You boys get up to a certain age. If you want something, get out there, scramble around, earn some money, and buy it. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, stop handing them money all the time. Okay? But they always want something. Well, then tell them to get out there and get a job. Get out there and work. But preacher, they're 12. I was working 30 hours a week when I was 12. Got my first kind of full-time job, 12 years of age. You know, we are raised in a lazy generation. You can't bribe a kid with a $100 bill anymore to do something, to earn it. You know why? All he's got to do is go ask mom and dad and they'll give it to him. Okay, this is good for us. Young man, let me just ask you this. Well, they owe it to us. They owe it to me. They're my parents. They owe it to me. That's your problem. That's your stinking problem right there. Nobody owes you anything. Get it in your head. Nobody owes you anything. Well, preacher, they owe me clothes. I want to ask you an honest question. At what age? At what age should you start buying your own school clothes? You're 18 years of age and you still don't have the money to go out and buy your own school clothes? Mom and Dad's got to buy them for you? You're 16 and you don't have money to... Every time you go to McDonald's, you got to go like this? Come on. Come on. You know what? The desire for things. Wants everything. Want everything. All the time asking. Want everything. Don't pay the price to earn it. You see, if you pay the price to earn the money for yourself, you may want less. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because you're no longer buying it with a $10 bill. Yes, sir. In your mind, you're buying it with the number of hours that it took to earn the $10 bill. And all those things that you just have to have when it's your money, you may figure out you don't have to have them as bad as you thought you might have to have them. Okay? Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Boy, here's something. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Here's the point. The sluggard will come up with most any excuse to keep from working. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Hey, shouldn't you get out there and plow the field? Well, I would, but it's just too cold. It's just too cold. And then you say, okay, well, wait a while. Don't you think you need to go plow the field? It's a little wet. Okay, we'll wait a few days. Don't you think you got to go plow the field? It's awful hot. I mean, no matter what it is, there's a reason not to do it. There's a reason to do it tomorrow. Just one more day. Just one more day. Proverbs chapter 22. You got to look at these verses. Take a look at it. Proverbs 22:13. I love it. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 26:13. Apparently that lion excuse worked with mom the first time because he's about to use it again. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with being lazy? It just is illustrating how absolutely ridiculous the excuses of a lazy man begins to sound to people around him. I mean, don't you think you ought to go to work? I was watching TV, and there's a lion. It escaped. Matter of fact, from our feline rescue center, isn't this true? Did a mountain lion escape? Well, I can't go to work. It's out there somewhere. I think we just need to stay home where it's safe. If we go outside, we might get eaten. So let's not risk it. I mean, we actually have one around here, you know, somewhere. You know what? I am sick and tired of hearing silly, foolish excuses for laziness. Sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. Stop bringing me doctor excuses. Stop telling me about whatever. I'm serious. I have been supervisor, started as a supervisor and overseen this school since 1994. I've watched kids with legitimate reasons, legitimate learning problems, legitimate learning disabilities buckle down. Am I telling the truth, Mrs. Bovichin? Buckle down and work and never make an excuse and carry piles of stuff home and work and stay on track and graduate on time. I've watched them do it. It didn't come easy for them. It didn't come natural for them. You know what? They didn't walk around whining looking for an excuse. I mean, there's young men in this room. By the way, some of the most successful young men, both working in this ministry and working out in this world, that's in this thing right now. And you know what? I went around and signed the non-sufficient goal slip for them, and they carried two or three paces home every day. Not because they were lazy, because they worked as hard as they could. And you know what? They did what they could, and they never griped, and they never cried, and they never whined, and their mom and dad didn't come in and make excuses for them. And you know what? They buckled down, and if they had to go home and work 2 hours or 3 hours, they did it. And they graduated when they needed to graduate. And they still carry that mentality into life, and that's why they're successful. See, folks, in the long run, you're going to find out this. Character is going to take you a lot farther than intelligence. Some of you that everything comes natural to, it's almost too easy. You're the ones I'm worried about. Because you've never had to be pushed. You've never had to buckle down. You never had to burn the midnight oil. You watch that guy. Just said, okay, it's hard. All right, it's a little harder for me than it is somebody else. But you know what? That means I'm just going to have to work a little harder. And they don't make excuses. They just do it. There's a lion. Okay? Proverbs 26:16. You say, preacher, why don't you just explain this to the people that are coming up with these silly excuses? Because of Proverbs 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. And let me help you, parents. And I know these are tough things, but we need some tough things said to us. I mean, we do. We are babying a generation. Yes, we are. Yeah, no, I don't mean somebody else. I mean, we all are. We're babying a generation. We're letting their excuses work. But if their excuses work on you all through their life, they're going to expect their excuses to work on everybody. Okay? You can't reason with a lazy man. Our society has created a victim mentality.
Yes, sir.
Poor me. People don't get it. Poor me. It's just okay, so what? It's harder. Okay, it might be legit. I get it. So what? Excuse me. So what?
Right.
You expect the world to give you a pass? It ain't going to happen out there.
Right.
Buckle down. Work through it. Fight through it. Work extra. Work harder. Do what you have to do. Get it done. Don't make excuses. Refuse to make excuses. Because the minute that you begin to make excuses, you begin to go down a road that's taking you towards slothfulness. Okay? Proverbs 19, verse 24. Man alive, I'm going to get off this slothful man thing. I'm going to have to find the happy man in Proverbs. The happy man. The sweet man. The sweet man. We need a revival of the work ethic. We need a revival of the work ethic. Because see, the work ethic and not having that isn't just affecting our economy and not just affecting the moral fiber of a nation. It's literally affecting Christianity. Look right up here. Let me help you, church. Let me help you. Let me tell you something. The average church member just has an excuse. And they're offended that I won't accept it. But you see, I'm trying to prep you for the judgment seat, because it's not going to be accepted there either. Well, I know we need to go so many, but I know we need to do this, but I know they're having a work day, but I know that, you know, your life's no busier than my life. Your life's no busier than my life. Your life's no busier than the people that take the time to go sewing and take the time to show up to work day and take the time to come out and sand a bus and make sure it gets painted. Your life's no busier than theirs. You just have gotten used to giving excuses. And because of that, the work of Jesus Christ across the nation is suffering because of this problem that we have in this area of slothfulness. Proverbs 19, verse 24, the sluggard will complain about having to do the simplest of tasks. Now, you watch this in your children. Notice what it says here. And if you don't understand and don't study the entire thing and put all the verses in one spot and sort them out, you may not have ever understood this verse. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Okay, you say, what's that got to do with anything? Okay, he's eating. And so he does, picks up the food, and he goes, and he puts his hand here. And then he's looking at that food going, man, I'd like to have another bite. Mom, I'm hungry. Huh? I'm hungry. It's right there, I know. Oh, you don't think your kids do that? Mom, can I get a glass of tea? Mom, could you get me this? What, you got, what, you crippled? Well, you can't walk? You don't know how to pour tea from a into a glass? Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you jump up when you need something, and while you're up, say to Mom and Dad, hey, can I get you something while I'm up? Mom, can I? Mom, could you? Mom, can you? Boy, I got a lot of uncomfortable young people in right now. But I got a lot of smiling parents right now, man. You remember this next time. You just tell them, why is your hand in your bosom? Don't want to move it. Are you just all comfy? Don't want to move it, sweetie. Can't move your hand. Will mommy feed you? So y'all need to be raised by a tough mom. Y'all think she's sweet. She's nasty. She just nasty, mean, just nasty. You know, she made us boys do dishes. She didn't care about gender blending. She didn't care about any of that stuff. I mean, she just mean. She's a mean mom. Thank God, America was better when we had some mean mamas. What are you crippled? Well, you can't walk? Come on. Okay, come on, moms, dads. Let's get after them. Let's not let them do it. Proverbs 26:15 says it again. Must have worked the first time, that excuse, because here it goes again. The slothful, Proverbs 26:15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. I mean, that's the picture here. There's a lion in the street, and we're supposed to just say, "Oh, okay, well, okay, honey, then stay in the house. You need a new video game? Keep you busy while you're avoiding the lions, because I don't want you to get hurt. You know, I'll pick the food up. I'll put it in your mouth." You said that's extreme. It's really not in this day and age. No, it's really not. No, I've got some able-bodied boys, and you know, mommy and daddy's still putting every bite of food in your mouth. Come on. 26, 27, 28, 30, 35-year-olds never left the house. Mama still does their laundry, still picks up after. Come on. Come on. Young ladies, I'm gonna help you with something here. I don't care how big of muscles he has, I don't care how handsome he is, I don't care how much wave he has in his hair. You better figure out whether that boy can work or not, or you're going to have a miserable, miserable life. You're going to have a miserable life. I don't care. Oh, he's so cute. You're going to have a miserable life. By the way, I'm going to help some of you guys. I don't care how cute she is. She's lazy. You're going to be miserable. Amen. Sluggard, Proverbs 20, or chapter 10. Go to this one here. This is going to help some of you understand something about men that you just are having trouble with. Because real men just... I'm going to confess something here. There's two types of men I can't be around. Effeminate and lazy. And I'm not sure there's much difference. I mean, literally, I just can't hardly. I just got to go somewhere else. I just got to go somewhere else. Say, well, you're just, no, I'm just a man. Every man in here that's a man gets that. I'm sorry. God bless you. Just God bless you somewhere else. Now, notice this, Proverbs 26, or chapter 10, verse 26. I wonder if pastor's biblical. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Now, preacher, it just seems like you kind of got an attitude towards my son. No, I don't kind of have an attitude towards your son. I have an attitude towards your son. You see, he just irritates the snot out of me. Now, some of you just need to let this settle in. You're mad at me, you won't get mad at him. You're mad at her, you won't get mad at, or mad at me, you won't get mad at her. Well, preacher, I just think you ought to, you know, come on, be a little more tolerant. Okay, I'm going to try to develop a taste for vinegar, I guess. That's what you're asking me. Come on, preacher. Just take a big old swig of it and just hold it in your mouth and squish it around and just be a little more accepting. No, I'm going to spit it out because I don't like the way it tastes. Y'all start a campfire sometime this summer when you're out camping. Stand over there and the wind blows a certain way. I mean, you get a full blast of smoke in your eyes. Come on now. We're country people here. What do you do? Just stand there and go, tolerant. Be tolerant. Smile. No. You know what you do? You go, get it. That's what you do. And that's how I feel around somebody that's lazy. It doesn't mean they're a horrible person. It doesn't mean I can't, for a short amount of time, try to carry on somewhat of a pleasant conversation with them. It's not going to be very long. Because they bug me. I just think that some of the teachers have developed an attitude towards my student. Yeah, they have. The kid irritates the snot out of them. Now, you want the teacher to change instead of changing the problem, instead of challenging the character. Come on. No, this is good. That boss just don't like me. No, he don't. If I was your boss, I wouldn't like you either. You're making my job harder. You're irritating not only me, you're irritating everybody that's working around you that knows you're slacking off, making them do most of your work. You're an irritant. If I can get rid of you, I'm going to get you off the job. I'm going to fire you or figure out a way to get rid of you if I can. I'm flat telling you, I'm getting rid of you if I can. I like this. I like that. Now, young men, listen to me. You think about this. You're going to get out there one of these days in this workaday world around men. You want to have any respect? You want them to respect you at all? Right, sir. And you don't show up and do half jobs.
Right.
You don't set back while everybody else jumps in.
Right.
You don't take 14 potty breaks in 3 hours.
Yeah.
You can sit there in the stall and avoiding work.
Yeah.
like some of the boys do here, who want to go hide in the bathroom. They either got medical issues or they're lazy. Now, y'all can be dumb if you want, but I'm not going to be dumb. See, my dad would knock on the door. And if that didn't work, he'd open the door. Come on now. Amen. Well, what if you're really... No, let's not go there, all right? But sometimes there's a still small voice saying to me in the back, stop. Just stop. Usually, nip it in the butt. Usually I don't listen to it, but I did that time. So. I'm trying to help some of you. You know, you want everybody to love something that the Bible says is an irritation. You want everybody's taste to change. You want us to become addicted to drinking vinegar and loving the smoke in our eyes instead of taking care of the problem. But son, if you don't get this figured out in your life, you're pretty much going to be an irritant to everybody out there. And every man in here that's got a job's already got two or three guys in the back of their mind that they've worked with at some point in their life. Where I'm telling you what, by the time the day was over, you wanted to just drag them out behind a barn and whoop them. I loaded trucks with a guy at United Parcel Service. His name was Welch. Laziest guy I've ever been around in my life, probably. Union job, so they couldn't really do much about it. Buddy, and every time there wasn't a supervisor working, guess what was doing most of his job? Every time they were watching, he was doing bare minimum. Brag about it. Payday would come. They'd pass out the checks on a Friday. I'd say, Welch, when you cash that, you know you owe me half of it. I'd say it right there, all the guys standing there. All the guys that laughed, they knew it was true. You know what? He laughed too. He didn't care. I mean, when you're over there just busting yourself trying to keep a truck loaded and you got a guy standing over there and you know you're doing not only your work but three-fourths of his, at some point you just want to punch him in the nose. And Christian love. Now, what I'm trying to do is save some of you young men from that reputation. Okay? Proverbs and young ladies. Okay? Femininity is not laziness. Their femininity, don't hide behind femininity as an excuse to hide from work. Okay? You better read Proverbs 31. She rolls up her sleeves, she strengtheneth her arms. She eateth not the bread of idols. She gets after it. Okay? Proverbs 15, verse 19 will be the last verse that we consider. The last Bible principle concerning the sluggard is this. The sluggard subjects himself to a hard and painful life. The sluggard subjects himself. This is the sadness of it. You may feel like that your life is easier because you're constantly trying to avoid work, but you're life in the long run is going to be harder. Notice again what the Bible says here. The plainness of the scriptures. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. So the slothful man literally chooses the path that would take him through a hedge of thorns. And that's how he walks, and that's what he has to deal with. Because if you have ever walked through a briar patch, you know what? It's a painful and excruciating experience, and there's no pleasure in it, and pretty soon there's no pleasure in life, and it's everybody else's fault, and nobody can talk to you, and you've got your list of excuses, and everybody else just needs to get over it. But you know what? Down deep, you're not happy. You're not happy. We just need some young men, young ladies to learn to know how to get after it. Now, what he puts himself through is silly, but I don't feel much sorry for him. But the sad part is what he puts or she puts her family through, the people around her through. That's downright horrible. And so young men, embrace the opportunity to labor. I mean that. Don't be that boy trying to slink off somewhere and avoid the work. Embrace the opportunity to labor. A boy tries to find a way to get out of work. Watch this. A man is offended if he doesn't have the opportunity to help in the work. A boy tries to slink off and avoid the work. A man is offended. He comes around and people are doing something. Well, why didn't someone call me? Why didn't you holler? He jumps in and works extra hard trying to make up for the fact that he got a late start and they've done something some more than he. That's how a man thinks. And as long as you've got the let's see how much work I can get out of mentality, you'll always be a boy. And until you look at a job and say, you know what? I'm not only going to do this. I'm going to do it all the way. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it faster than I'm going to push myself to see how fast that I can do it and do it right and do it efficiently. And you start carrying that mentality out into the workaday world. I'll tell you what, you'll never lack for a job. There'll always be a door open. There's always going to be an opportunity because you'll have a reputation. Hey, you hire that guy, you're hiring two. Get him. Get that guy. You want that guy working for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good, solid biblical principles that we've learned from the book of Proverbs and how helpful they are. So many of these things would have been considered very normal, common sense, everyday, every person ideas 50, 60, 70 years ago. Lord, we've changed. Our nation's changed. Help us to not be a part of that change. Help us as Christians to always set the example. Lord, may we work every job as if we are doing it for your glory and, dear God, in your eyes, not men's eyes. May all of us take a hard look at our lives. May we examine carefully these Bible principles. If we've fallen into the pattern of life of making excuses instead of volunteering or working half speed instead of full speed, finding ways out of work and around work instead of doing the work. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to make the adjustments in our lives that we ought to make so that we can be more productive, Lord, for our families and for the work of God in all areas of our life, we pray. Bless the invitation time in Jesus' name. Let's